is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To Simon Constable, my colleague in the south of France, paradise near the harvest moon, checking on commodity prices. You will note within these last weeks, the reporting suggests that Riyadh and Moscow are working in some fashion in tandem to cut back production. The result, higher price of oil, Brent crude in Europe, West Texas in the U.S. Last week, the last week episode, we were talking about $100 of oil, Goldman Sachs saying won't get higher than 107. This is either Brent crude or West Texas. It wasn't specific. Now we check. Simon, a very good evening to you. The Bloomberg headline these last days has a barrel of oil, Brent crude, somewhere in the 90s. What are you paying at the pump for petrol, for your diesel? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. You're right. Oil is pricey, and that's making diesel fuel and gasoline pricey too. So it's now 1 euro 93 cents for a liter of diesel. That's the equivalent to 7 euros 30 per gallon, and $7.80 per gallon. So that's a heck of a lot of money. It's not surprising it's gone up because the price of Brent crude has gone up and it's now $94. And put that in perspective, at the very beginning of September, it was 88, and now it's gone up to 94. So 100 is eminently possible at any point. You know, another few weeks and we could easily go through 100. I've heard people talk about it being worth over $150 a barrel. So that is something to really make you want to wince or cry or take a bicycle to work instead of a car.
Puzzling, too, because we're exiting the driving season in the United States. However, if the production is cut back and fill in the blanks, this puts pressure on all governments, not just the United States, although we're going through an election cycle. Food will reflect this as well. I'm especially sympathetic now that you've moved into the agricultural center of the south of France because your neighbors, the farmers and their workers, are paying for diesel fuel. That's what runs farm equipment, and they're seeing the prices go up. And I don't think they live with a big margin. Is that accurate, Simon?
They do not live with a big margin. In fact, the price of any agricultural product tends to get down to a break-even level. So basically, every major country has to subsidize farmers in some way. And I think that's true in the UK, in the US a bit, and certainly in Europe, that's what's been happening for decades. The level of the subsidy is the question. And sometimes it's a lot and sometimes it's a little, but it is rather a difficult thing to be in, is to stay in the agricultural business.
If you're thinking of changing careers to become a farmer, or if you're a farmer and thinking of becoming Simon Constable, writer for the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, you will want to examine books that Simon brings to my attention. I never knew they existed. The title of his Wall Street Journal piece is 5 Books to Read If You're Thinking of Changing Careers. This isn't suggestive, is it, Simon? You're not thinking of becoming an oil trader, is that correct?
No, I could not possibly become an oil trader, because I don't think I could take the stress. It's a 24-hour-a-day job, so that wouldn't be the right thing for me. It was very interesting to research this, though. So I talked to some experts who'd written their own books about changing careers, and they came up with some very interesting thoughts. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just extract some quotes from this, which is really quite interesting. So I talked with a gentleman called William Burnett, and he's the executive director of the Life Design Lab at Stanford University. And he says, what about looking for the good enough job, right? Reclaiming life from work. It doesn't have to be the best job in the world, it's good enough for you. And he says, a good job is good enough if it's one that fits your values and you're learning stuff. And the book he recommends is The Good Enough Job, Reclaiming Life from Work by Simone Stolzoff. And that's a very interesting way, is getting the perfect job isn't necessary for everybody. Just having a regular job. And that sounds right to me. I don't know about you, John. What do you think?
I think that I don't have very much experience in changing careers. I was single-minded as a young person. I'm single-minded as a senior person. I went from writing to talking. Not much of a change of career, but I've observed this in my children and in others. And I didn't know it would be such a bump, but I see now, having looked at your presentation, Simon, it can be alarming, people feeling that they're lost or not in the right place, and how to learn what you really care about. There was a recommendation in one of the books, I don't have the title, but it was a good recommendation that I think is practical-minded for everyone. Don't eat lunch at your desk. Ask different people in the office to go out to lunch with you so you learned about how they view the job you're in and how they think about their careers. I think, did you ever do that, Simon, when working in large offices, meet your colleagues for lunch and talk about your dreams?
If only. Occasionally I did, but it got less and less and less as the workload got higher and higher and higher. And I think, looking back, that I should have just said, no, I'm going for lunch with my colleagues. This is very important. The book in question is Make Your Contacts Count, Networking Know-How for Business and Career Success by Ann Baber and Lynn Waymon. They've done a lot of great work on other books as well, but it does make a lot of sense. So the woman I asked about is Dawn Graham, who works in talent management. She says, quote, make the most of those moments you have with people, she says. And reading the book, you also start taking notes about people in those meetings, and you can have striking conversations later. And I think that is a very sound thing. I wish I'd done a bit more of that, and maybe I will in the future.
Because, Simon, I took this as a reading assignment you gave me, so I respond. Is to dive into the job with gusto. That's a journalist. That's what you do, Simon. You completely immerse yourself in your work. Is that how you learn to like it?
Well, you learn to know if you're going to like it. You can't put your big toe in the swimming pool to decide if you're going to enjoy swimming. You have to get in there and swim. And you might never want to go back, but you have to get in, swim, do a few lengths and say, oh, this is okay, or this is not okay. You can't really do it from the outside and not commit yourself. And the quote here from Stolzoff, who is looking at another book, he's saying, the truth is we yearn for purpose and for dedicating ourselves to commitments. And then the real point is if you don't commit, how are you going to know enough to decide? I think that's absolutely legitimate. You might hate something, but you're not going to know till you get in there. If you want to join the army, maybe that'll be great. Maybe it won't, but you're not going to know unless you go.
Now, you changed geography. Is that satisfying the way a career change would be? We've got 30 seconds, Simon.
Absolutely. Changing country, you've got to commit. You've got to go there. It can't be a holiday. A holiday or a vacation is completely different. You've got to absolutely get in and commit. And I do think it has a lot of differences. Careers are different, just like countries are different. And you've got to think of it that way.
Simon Constable, writing for The Wall Street Journal, on 5 books to read. If you're thinking of changing career, if you've changed career, if you're a senior citizen such as myself and reflecting about careers you didn't change to, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Butler.